Good morning, Northern Michigan, and welcome to Northern Focus, Q100's Community Affairs and Events program we host each and every Friday through our partnership with Kirtland Community College. Do something today for your future that you can be proud of and visit kirtland.edu, Michigan's greatest educational website. This week's program was pre-recorded. We always like to start off our program with a representative from Kirtland Community College, and today is no exception. I have Paula Whittington on the phone with me from the Kirtland Foundation. Good morning, Paula.
Good morning.
So tell us about the new program, Path to Success.
Well, Path to Success is a mentoring program through the Kirtland Foundation, and it's for students in grades 7th through 12th. We actually started in 2019. Took a pause because of COVID, and we are inducting a new group of students in this September, and we're very excited about it.
So it sounds like to me that you're reaching out to pre-collegiate students and getting them involved with existing or former Kirtland students about how to have a better path going forward.
Correct. So our goal is to connect students with learning and team building, Kirtland programs, mentoring, career choices, field trips, volunteering, and most importantly, fun. So the students stay in our program from 7th through 12th grade, and each year that they move up in high school, we have a new theme in terms of what we focus on until they graduate and hopefully move on to either higher education or a career technical program.
I think that's a wonderful idea. So how are you trying to grow this program? Are you reaching out to different high schools and middle schools, or just kind of trying to get the word out individually?
Well, what we do is we have a connection with the five area schools, Crawford Arsauble, otherwise known as Grayling, Houghton Lake Community Schools, Roscommon, Our Lady of the Lake, and Charlton Heston Academy. And each, we have asked the school counselors to nominate students.
Ah.
And then we reach out to the students from there. So, for example, we've just reached out to 70-plus students and their families to come in and get an orientation and learn more about the program. And then from that group, we'll start a new group of students in the fall.
Is that how many students you can handle in the program? Is 70 or...
No, I wish. That's the goal.
Yeah, that's a big group.
We'll start with about 15 to 20 students. So
okay.
We have a group now that are now ninth graders, and then we're looking for a new group of about 20 students.
Gotcha. That sounds manageable, especially as the program is just really literally getting off the ground.
Correct, yes. And in the future, what we're really looking forward to is being able to connect with our students one-on-one and actually take field trips and go places and have a lot of fun with them. And, you know, as with all school systems, COVID created a pause, but I think we're going to be in full swing in September.
No, I think it's a great idea. You know, my son goes to Kalamazoo College, and they have a huge mm-hmm. mentorship program with graduates that they do their sophomore and their junior year, and the school actually sends them to graduates who have had success in their particular fields, and they pay for the travel, whether, you know, they're somewhere in Michigan or outstate, California, no matter where they are, and it's one of the reasons why he chose to go to K College.
That sounds wonderful.
Yeah.
I would love to do that.
No, it's a really smart program because, you know, a lot of times you have great relationships with your teachers, whether you're in middle school, high school, or into university. And a lot of times you don't. So to have a more of a personal relationship with somebody who's looking out for your education is a tremendously smart move.
I think so. And I one of the things that I think will be helpful in Path to Success is connecting to various instructors, like the art instructor or a math instructor, our nursing program. We have so many different programs that I think once you can get a chance to kind of look at them and see if this is fit for me and then maybe meet people in the program, I think that just allows more comfort, as you say.
So as we're discussing this on the air today, if there's a parent who has a student that's in 6th or 7th grade, could they still reach out to you and see if they could get their child involved?
Absolutely. They can reach out to the Kirtland Foundation, and we'll connect them through the school, but we will work with parents who are interested.
So they could either call the 989-275-5000 number, and then what extension would they dial?
Extension 1502.
Extension 1502, so it would be 989-275-5000, extension 1502, or I'm assuming there's a space for this somewhere on your fantastic website.
Right, so they can go to the Kirtland website and look for Kirtland Foundation on the drop-down screen. Easy, I think it's Easy Links, and they'll find the Path to Success program right there.
There you go. So under the Kirtland Foundation tab at kirtland.edu, click on the Path to Success for more information. Paula Whittington from Kirtland
Correct.
Foundation, thanks so much for joining us on Northern Focus.
Well, thanks for having me. Have a nice day.
You too. We'll be back after these words from
Bye-bye.
Our fine partners on Q100's Northern Focus, brought to us by Kirtland Community College. The goodies in the green room came from Cops and Donuts and Greystone Coffee Company in Gaylord, and Iron Pig Smokehouse delivered us a delicious breakfast. Welcome back to Northern Focus here on Q100, brought to us by Kirtland Community College. Jerry Coyne in studio on the phone with my good friend Vicki Springstead, who is with the Higgins Lake Foundation. And Vicki, it has been the foundation's avowed principle to keep Higgins Lake clean and beautiful, and that's the whole purpose with Awareness Day.
Exactly. It's our annual fundraiser, and we're excited about it. It started 32 years ago by our founders. Rob Morley was quite the idea man, and that was his idea. So we have a raffle, and we give away $10,000 in cash prizes, which is one of the fun parts. You don't have to be present to win. The cost of the raffle tickets is $100, and that admits two people. But the event includes food, the raffle, of course, a silent auction, a live auction, an open bar, and it's come to be traditionally an annual fun event to catch up with friends and neighbors all around the lake and in the village to kind of get reacquainted, especially this year because we didn't see anybody last year. So we're excited about it. But the cash prizes are a big draw, and it's $3,000 for the first prize, $2,000 second prize, $1,000 for the third, and $500 prizes and $450 prizes. And any of the profits from this, Jerry, are used for lake projects. Our current biggest project is the dash boat, the diver assisted suction harvester,
right,
which is out on Higgins removing aquatic invasive species.
Well, I know that everybody in and around Higgins Lake has a special love for it and its beauty. And so that's what makes this event so popular, is there are so many people that have the same like-minded goal.
You're absolutely right. Everybody loves Higgins Lake. If you're a visitor, if you live in the village or surrounding area, or if you're on the lake, or if you are here for, 2 weeks or 2 months, it's a special, special place to people. And no matter what their particular relationship is with the lake, we're well known as one of the most beautiful lakes in the world, and the common slogan is that we are the sixth most beautiful lake in the world, and to me it's the first, but of course I'm a little biased.
Yes.
So we all have a special love for Higgins, and as time goes on and we learn more about the ecology of the lake, we know there are many important things we can do to take care of it, like not using fertilizer, adding vegetation to the shoreline, getting people to wash their boats so that they're not spreading aquatic invasive species from lake to lake, because we're all the lakes are interconnected, so it's important we take care of all of our Michigan lakes.
That's right, and it's such a plus to have the boat wash at both the north and south end of Higgins Lake. So if you're bringing your boat onto Higgins Lake, wash it before and wash it after, and help keep the lake clean. And Vicki, when is the Awareness Day?
Oh, hey, that's a good question, Jerry. I'm glad you brought that up. It is Saturday, August the 7th. It starts at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. It goes till approximately 6, and it takes place at the Ralph McMullen Conference Center on the north shore of beautiful Higgins Lake. You can buy your tickets through our website, which is the Higgins Lake Foundation. Higgins Lake-Foundation.org, and you can pay directly through the website or contact a board member or call our Higgins Lake office at 989-275-9183. Open Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, 9 to 3, or leave a message and we'll gladly sell you a ticket.
Well, the party itself is worth $100, and then who knows what you might win when you attend this great event happening at,
August the 7th, Saturday at 4 in the afternoon, and that's at the Ralph McMullen Conference Center.
Coming up in just a few weeks, so I better hurry up and get my ticket.
Right. Hey, I'll catch up with you for that, Jerry.
All right. Thank you so much, Vicki, and thank you for all your continued efforts to help keeping Higgins Lake beautiful.
Thanks, and thanks for the opportunity to spread the word today, Jerry. Much appreciated.
Oh, you're quite welcome. We'll be back after these words from our fine partners on Q100's Northern Focus, brought to us by Kirtland Community College. And the goodies in the green room come from Cops and Donuts, Greystone Coffee Company in Gaylord, and Iron Pig delivered us a delicious breakfast. Welcome back to Northern Focus here on Q100, brought to us by Kirtland Community College. Jerry Coyne in studio on the phone with Josh Pachorek, who is the Western Michigan spokesperson for Consumers Energy. Josh, I know the net carbon or zero net carbon initiative of Consumers Energy took another big step forward yesterday.
It absolutely did, Jerry. Thanks so much for having me on. Yesterday, we opened the Cadillac Solar Gardens. It's our third solar power plant under that Consumers Energy has. And like you said, it's a big step forward for the company as we work to lead the clean energy transformation here in Michigan and across the country.
So describe a solar energy, you so call it a solar garden. But it's really, how much energy is this supposed to supply?
So that's a great question. So this particular solar garden we just opened up in Cadillac is going to generate about half a megawatt of electricity, which is enough to power about 100 homes at a time.
Okay.
But this solar garden is part of our solar gardens program. And there are three solar gardens in the state of Michigan, one at Western Michigan University and one at Grand Valley State University. Those solar gardens help produce enough energy to power 800 homes. But really, what we are working towards here at Consumers Energy is increasing the amount of solar energy we produce by 2040 to 8,000 megawatts of power, because we believe to lead the clean energy transformation, we need to continue to look to generate solar energy to better protect our planet and continue to serve reliable, affordable energy to our customers.
Josh, I drive around a lot here in northern Michigan every once in a while. I'll come across a rather large bank of solar panels. How many panels or how many square feet of solar panels would constitute a solar garden?
So at our Cadillac Solar Garden, we have about 1,700 solar panels on about a 3-acre site.
Okay.
And the solar garden program, this is something really cool. For customers interested, if you go to consumersenergy.com/solar gardens, you can learn more about this program where customers enroll in it. They pay a little bit extra, and what we do as a company is we can take that little bit extra and continue to invest in solar energy. So if you're interested in, you know, helping us generate cleaner solar energy for customers across the state, you can go to consumersenergy.com/solar garden.
Yeah, it's for me the solar technology has gotten much better, much more efficient, much cheaper to make. I know the price of solar panels has come down considerably. So in the overall scheme of things, what is the new mix that Consumers Energy is projecting as far as solar, wind, and the other types of energy production to get to the 2040 stated goal?
Sure. So that's all included as part of our updated clean energy plan, which was a really bold, historic plan that we introduced last month, where we announced that we were going to go coal-free by the year 2040.
Right.
We were going to generate 8,000 megawatts, or I'm sorry, coal-free by 2025, and we were going to generate 8,000 megawatts of solar power by 2040. Overall, by 2040, our goal under this plan, it means we would achieve about, we would get to net zero emissions by 2040, and about 60% of the energy we produce would be coming from clean renewable sources like wind and solar.
I see. And that plan is probably all laid out on your website.
It is. You can go to consumersenergy.com and learn more about how we are working to be a force of change in this clean energy transformation. And customers can also go to consumersenergy.com/force of change and learn what steps they can take in their home or in their business to help play a small part in this clean energy transformation.
Josh Pachorek from Consumers Energy, thanks for joining us on Northern Focus and continuing to update us on all the steps Consumers Energy is making to keep the power moving through Michigan and doing it in a cleaner fashion.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on, Jerry.
All right. We'll be back after these words from our fine partners on Q100's Northern Focus, brought to us by Kirtland Community College. The goodies in the green room come from Cops and Donuts and Greystone Coffee Company in Gaylord. And Iron Pig Smokehouse delivered us a delicious breakfast. Welcome back to Northern Focus here on Q100, brought to us by Kirtland Community College. Jerry Coyne is in studio on the phone with Ruth Blick from the Salvation Army, my good friend Ruth Blick. And Ruth, tell our listeners a little bit about the Salvation Army's Christmas in July.
Well, we're very excited to have some bell ringers out ringing this weekend, starting this morning. And they will be ringing on all day Friday and all day Saturday to raise awareness of the Salvation Army programs in Traverse City, as well as raising some funds.
I love that idea. You know, we when I was in college, we used to have a New Year's Eve party just before the end of the semester because nobody was ever together in New Year's Eve. So this has got the same kind of flavor to it.
Well, and it does. Need knows no season, and people know the Salvation Army at Christmas time, but our programs do go 365 days of the year, and we're here to answer the need of our neighbors.
Ruth, outline to our listeners some of the outreach services the Salvation Army provides that maybe they don't know about.
Well, here in Traverse City, we do community meals Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And we've been very fortunate to be able to continue our programs all through COVID, thanks to the community support. So our meals continue 3 days a week. We also have a free food market here on Monday and Wednesdays from 12 till 1 as well. We have a food pantry. We also provide financial assistance for utility assistance, rental assistance, other emergency assistance that comes up, whether that might be a need to replace some tires on your car or your brakes, which is preventing you from going to work or taking care of your family. They are, you know, critical needs to help people maintain their stability. And then we have youth programs. We've got Vacation Bible School coming up. We've got summer day camp for kids going on right now. We have Pathway of Hope, which works with families on a long term, on one-on-one, on helping them realize their hopes and their dreams.
Yeah, just a myriad of programs that most people don't know about that keep the thread of our community together, all happening through the support of the Salvation Army. So, Ruth, how many locations will they be ringing bells in and around Traverse City this weekend?
We have 7 locations in Traverse City, at Blaine's Farm and Fleet, to Olson's on Hammond and Long Lake, Tom's East Bay and West Bay, Horizon Books downtown, Family Fair on 8th Street. On Saturday, we also got a surprise that the Glen Lake Lakers athletic teams, the high school teams, said, hey, we want to host a kettle, and they are actually hosting a kettle out in Glen Arbor on Saturday.
Cool.
At Anderson's Food Market.
So those there's your opportunities, folks, to swing by and drop a chunk of change into the kettles in July. You're still going to cheer up the bell ringers. I know I've done my fair share of bell ringing, and it's always nice to have the public come by and put dough in the kettles, and it makes your efforts that much more worthwhile. However, you will take monetary donations, checks, and things like that through the Salvation Army website, correct?
Yes. And actually, well, the bell ringers are out today and Saturday. We also, for those that want to sit on the beach and still want to do something cool, we do have a virtual Red Kettle. They can visit our Facebook page at the Salvation Army Traverse City or our website, satraversecity.org. Or they can stop by on, well, today and drop off checks at our community center as well.
And where's that located at, Ruth?
Our community center is located in Traverse City, and it's at 1239 Barlow. And, you know, this is where our services are, and, you know, it's a beacon of hope to the community. We've been blessed by the community to be able to provide the services we're giving.
Ruth, one last question. So folks that are a little down on their luck, that need the help and support that you outlined here a few minutes ago, how do they take advantage of that? How do they reach out to the Salvation Army for assistance?
If it's for our community meal, all they have to do is come here Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 12 to 1. We have a food truck in the parking lot, and we're still serving meals to go at this point. And they just come up and tell us how many meals they need. With at the same time on Monday and Wednesday, 12 to 1, we have a free food market. And they just need to come, and they'll get fresh perishable food as well as other staples and hygiene products. Other ones for financial assistance or utilities, they just need to call us at that in the food pantry to sign up, and they can just call our office and let us know what their needs are, and we will connect them with the right person.
And then the phone number is 231-946-4644.
Correct.
Ruth Blick from the Salvation Army. Ruth, thanks so much for all that you do for the Grand Traverse community and the programs, the assistance. It's never ending. And the thing I like best about you is that you always do it with a smile on your face.
Well, and let's put it this way. To go out and watch the bell ringers this weekend, and we still do later on Friday and on Saturday, do have some bell ringing opportunities as well. And they can call our office or go to registertoring.com. But what's fun about this is people get to lather on the sunscreen instead of layers of clothing. And, you know, spread some joy. Gifts don't always come wrapped under the tree. They don't always come at Christmas time. And this is just our way of, you know, one, thanking the community, and two, helping our neighbors who are still struggling.
Well, J-Bo and I would do our usual shtick, but we've got the canoe marathon here this weekend, so unfortunately we can't do the guitar playing and the bell ringing, but you will see us again at Christmas.
Well, we appreciate all you do. We appreciate your support, and thanks for helping us get the word out.
All right, Ruth Blick from the Salvation Army. Thanks for joining us here on Northern Focus. We'll be back after these words from our fine partners on Q100's Northern Focus, brought to us by Kirtland Community College. The goodies in the green room come from Cops and Donuts and Greystone Coffee Company in Gaylord, and Iron Pig Smokehouse delivered a delicious breakfast. Welcome back to Northern Focus here on Q100, brought to us by Kirtland Community College. On the phone with me is a frequent contributor to this program, the most esteemed Dare Rendon, our representative from the 103rd District. Dare, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, JC. I'm great. It's always good to be here in Northern Michigan.
Yeah.
Where we do things right.
Where we do things right. We're better to be here than in Lansing, I understand, is usually your slogan. But a huge bit of news coming out of Lansing in the last day or so about the Unlock Michigan Citizens Initiative. Tell our listeners about that.
Okay, I'd love to. This is an initiative, as you know, where average citizens signed a petition. And they signed a petition because even though last fall in October, the Supreme Court ruled that the 1945 emergency manager law that was being used by the governor to orchestrate how we dealt with COVID was unconstitutional. Things didn't change. They didn't change in our government, and we shifted policy. The governor shifted her orders and went through DHHS instead.
Right.
So a citizens initiative was started, and in record time, this group managed to secure over 460,000 citizen signatures on a petition saying that they wanted, actually, they collected over 540,000 signatures in 80 days.
Amazing.
And, yeah, so we only needed 325,000, so it was pretty easy to make those get certified, and yet objections were filed.
Right.
To make a long story short, finally, the Board of Canvassers gave their full approval to allow these signatures on the petition to go forward and send it to the legislature. And the reason it's important to understand this process is under a citizens initiative, if there is a simple majority in both the Senate and the House, there is no need and there is no reason to get a governor's signature. This is a citizens initiative.
Wow.
The power is from the people.
As it should be.
Amen.
And the governor cannot file any more counterclaims to this. This has been signed into law now, correct?
So here's how it worked. The vote yesterday was 60-48. We were missing two people from the Republican caucus, but four Dems voted with us, and Representative Sarah Cambenzi from the Upper Peninsula was one of them. And so we had a bipartisan majority in the House. We also voted for immediate effect, making the 1945 Emergency Act null and void. That act was actually orchestrated. It has been called in the past the Riot Act. And so now the Emergency Manager Act that we have on file from 1976 becomes the law that we will operate under in future emergencies. And what that law does is it requires that any decisions made by the executive office have to be renewed by the legislature's approval at 28-day intervals.
But the DHHS cannot pull the strings like they did, as you referenced earlier?
That part is a little gray. And what we are seeing is a second initiative being launched. It is called Unlock Michigan 2. And that actually is turning into a petition that will actually challenge using the Department of Health and Human Services to use their powers to push forward an initiative without legislative approval.
Right, to bypass the normal legal steps that you just outlined with the Unlock Michigan Citizen Initiative.
Mm-hmm. That is correct.
I guess the one other thing in all of this, Dare, that I would be concerned about is, what about rulings for schools?
Ah, so right now, that has been left up to the individual school districts.
Good.
And as far as, and I believe right now, individual school districts are making those decisions, as they should, because long time ago, we set up a system with school boards, and the boards are to listen to the people, and the people whose students are in school should be voicing their concerns about what the school year will look like for their child, no matter what school district they are in. Right now, there is a court case being tried, and it's being pushed by a Catholic school in Lansing who is suing because they are upset about mask mandates for students. And even though the mask mandates were lifted and it has become left up to the schools, they are still pushing their case forward because they believe that they want a verdict on this in circuit court so that in the future we have a set precedent for allowing government institutions to determine policies for all of our schools.
Well, that would make sense. That's one of the things that you and I have always been talking about since the past year and a half, about sensible governing, you know, by the people, for the people, and not one or two individuals who we don't need to name trying to make policy about a lot of things that they don't really even have a great understanding about.
And our governor did make policy. It was an emergency. She had to do that.
Right.
And I think we all agree that something had to be done, and she did what she thought was right at the time.
Mm-hmm.
As time goes on, though, we need to be open to not just looking at one set of scientific rules and principles. We need to hear about all of them, because the majority of hardworking Michiganders are taxpayers, and they understand what's good for their own families and what's good for their own health. I mean, it's up to families to deal with with health issues, to deal with issues that affect their incomes. And they don't become stupid all of a sudden because one set of scientific principles has been put forward. Give them the time. Let them do the research. Let them look at all the options. I have to do that. When I had a bout with cancer several years ago, you look for several opinions.
Right.
You don't accept the first one that comes forward. You might have to for a while. But as you learn about what you're dealing with, you also learn that there are many different opinions about how to treat it and how it should be handled. And I think that the people here in Michigan are smart enough and capable enough to do the research themselves and to find their own answers. Not that our executive department, our executive area of government needs to make decisions for everyone, and they need to be able to move quickly. And the governor did the right thing when she started this.
Right.
No one can fault her for that.
I don't.
But as more and more information comes out, we need to let all of the people be heard, not just one area of the government making these decisions for us.
Dare, speaking of hardworking Michiganders, we need to get some more of our hardworking Michiganders back into the job market. Where does the House of Representatives here in the state sit with trying to bring the unemployed folks who have been getting paid not to work back into the working system?
That is an excellent question, and it is probably the number one question that every employer, no matter what profession, has today. And I'm speaking, and I'll talk about health care workers, because a lot of them have been worked very hard, and they are dealing with exhaustion issues, and
yet
we can't get people to replace them because the unemployment system, for those who've learned how to use it, has become almost lucrative for some people.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're seeing that the federal government is actually going to start paying people a monthly sum of money per child. So you wonder, is it worth it to go to work? Well, there's a bright lining here. One is that in spite of the legislation that we put forth on the governor's desk that she vetoed, not once but twice, the federal supplement to unemployment will end September 5th. So that extra $300 a month that is now being paid as in to unemployment recipients will end September 5th. We tried to get it done sooner than that, but at this point in time, it's 6 weeks away. There's not anything we can do in the meantime. Also, we did put some stipulations in for those who are receiving unemployment that they must provide proof that they are actively seeking work. So those stipulations are in effect right now. Anyone who is receiving unemployment has to provide proof that they are actively seeking employment. That makes people get out and actually talk to employers.
I had heard something that I don't know if I could say it properly, and if you don't know about it or if I'm not referencing it properly, I apologize. But I had heard that the governor's office had put forth a proposal that people that were on unemployment, if they got back into the workforce, they would be forgiven X amount of dollars or paid the rest of their unemployment to get back into the workforce. Are you familiar with that?
I'm kind of familiar with that. Those are things that didn't work.
Oh, okay.
That was something that the governor wanted to happen.
Gotcha.
He also wanted to increase Michigan's portion. Now, many of your listeners, probably a lot of listeners, are aware of the fact that we have a lot of COVID money, so to speak,
right,
sitting in our coffers right now. And the legislature is the only person that can, the only body that can actually direct where that money gets spent. And we had actually provided legislation and put it on the governor's desk that would have paid down the large debt we have in our own unemployment insurance here in Michigan. That debt caused by all the unemployment paid in the last year and a half.
Right.
So that once the economy is up and running, and we're getting there, that Michigan employers aren't required to pay that tax back. And that was something that got vetoed. But other initiatives to change how much money unemployment is being paid out in Michigan unemployment funds didn't get anywhere in our legislature. There was no political will to increase the amount of Michigan unemployment insurance benefits. So that hasn't happened. And watch for this going forward, because the governor has not worked with us on the budget issues that we did pass. Notably, she vetoed this week a bill that we had for $125 million to be dispersed to $1,000 grants to be dispersed by Grand Valley College to help parents whose children were adversely affected in reading development to use in getting their student or child enrolled in a program to ramp up the lost time that they were not able to study and learn during COVID. And we were real excited about that. Early student learning is a big, important part of early reading is a big, important part of a student learning.
Right.
Because children have to learn to read before they can read to learn. That's why it's so important. In a year and a half out of a young child's life and not being able to have that one-on-one reading tutor available to them is really going to set back a lot of students. So we were pretty excited about this grant and about the fact that a lot of families would be getting, for children in those age groups, they'd be able to, you know, get a $1,000 grant per child and get them enrolled in a tutoring program so that they could be caught up with where they should be.
There are so many issues to talk about, dear. We're on with Dear Rendon, our representative in the 103rd District here in our listening area. But I do have one last question. Going back to people deciding on whether they should or shouldn't be vaccinated, and I know that the governor has invested a lot of dollars in the lottery and the dollars that are being given away to entice people to get vaccinated. The news back that we hear is that this program has not been very successful. What are your thoughts?
That's what we're hearing, too, that it hasn't been successful. They did announce winners this week of these, but the state is still sitting at 62.9% partially vaccinated and 53.5% fully vaccinated. The governor had her personal goal of getting 70% vaccinated, so that's not where she would like us to be. But I think people are making up their own minds. And many people are doing something that I talked about earlier, which is they're studying the science, they're making their own health decisions, what's right for them. They're consulting with many different doctors and opinions on what's good for them and for their families. And right now, because, you know, the country we live in, we still have a Bill of Rights. It still allows us to make personal choices. And I think that's the decision that every person has to make, and they have to make it with their family.
Yeah, it's a difficult decision. It's just difficult to watch now as we see another wave of COVID with the Delta variant and a lot of our Olympic athletes coming down with it. So just when you think that we might be out of the woods with COVID, it never seems to quite let completely go.
Well, and that's the narrative that we are certainly seeing on our mainstream media. And personally, I haven't seen or heard of anything like that here in northern Michigan.
Me neither.
And I think we all just need to, again, address our concerns with our own health professionals, people that we trust, and get our advice from sources who know who you are in your personal health issues.
That's sound advice, Dare. Dare Rendon, the representative from the 103rd District and good friend to Northern Michigan, thanks for taking the time out to join us here on Northern Focus. As usual, you're always a fountain of knowledge, and good to know that we have reasonable people like yourself helping us through all the problems in the state of Michigan.
Well, thank you, JC. I appreciate the opportunity to talk to the people in Michigan any chance I get. Thanks.
All right. We'll be back after these words from our fine partners on Q100's Northern Focus, brought to us by Kirtland Community College. The goodies in the green room come from Cops and Donuts and Greystone Coffee Company in Gaylord. And Iron Pig Smokehouse delivered us a delicious breakfast. Welcome back to Northern Focus here on Q100, brought to us by Kirtland Community College. Jerry Coyne in studio on the phone with Josh Pachorek, who is the Western Michigan spokesperson for Consumers Energy. Josh, I know the net carbon or zero net carbon initiative of Consumers Energy took another big step forward yesterday.
It absolutely did, Jerry. Thanks so much for having me on. Yesterday, we opened the Cadillac Solar Gardens. It's our third solar power plant under that Consumers Energy has. And like you said, it's a big step forward for the company as we work to lead the clean energy transformation here in Michigan and across the country.
So describe a solar energy, you so call it a solar garden, but it's really, how much energy is this supposed to supply?
So that's a great question. So this particular solar garden we just opened up in Cadillac is going to generate about half a megawatt of electricity, which is enough to power about 100 homes at a time.
Okay.
But this solar garden is part of our solar gardens program.
And there are three solar gardens in the state of Michigan, one at Western Michigan University and one at Grand Valley State University. Those solar gardens help produce enough energy to power 800 homes. But really, what we are working towards here at Consumers Energy is increasing the amount of solar energy we produce by 2040 to 8,000 megawatts of power, because we believe to lead the clean energy transformation, we need to continue to look to generate solar energy to better protect our planet and continue to serve reliable, affordable energy to our customers.
Josh, I drive around a lot here in northern Michigan every once in a while. I'll come across a rather large bank of solar panels. How many panels or how many square feet of solar panels would constitute a solar garden?
So at our Cadillac Solar Garden, we have about 1,700 solar panels on about a 3-acre site.
Okay.
And the solar garden program, this is something really cool. For customers interested, if you go to consumersenergy.com/solargardens, you can learn more about this program where customers enroll in it. They pay a little bit extra, and what we do as a company is we can take that little bit extra and continue to invest in solar energy. So if you're interested in, you know, helping us generate cleaner solar energy for customers across the state, you can go to consumersenergy.com/solargarden.
Yeah, it's the solar technology has gotten much better, much more efficient, much cheaper to make. I know the price of solar panels has come down considerably. So in the overall scheme of things, what is the new mix that Consumers Energy is projecting as far as solar, wind, and the other types of energy production to get to the 2040 stated goal?
Sure. So that's all included as part of our updated clean energy plan, which was a really bold, historic plan that we introduced last month, where we announced that we were going to go coal-free by the year 2040.
Right.
We were going to generate 8,000 megawatts, or I'm sorry, coal-free by 2025, and we were going to generate 8,000 megawatts of solar power by 2040. Overall, by 2040, our goal under this plan, it means we would achieve about, we would get to net zero emissions by 2040, and about over 60% of the energy we produce would be coming from clean, renewable sources like wind and solar.
I see. And that plan is probably all laid out on your website.
It is. You can go to consumersenergy.com and learn more about how we are working to be a force of change in this clean energy transformation. And customers can also go to consumersenergy.com/force of change and learn what steps they can take in their home or in their business to help play a small part in this clean energy transformation.
Josh Pachorek from Consumers Energy, thanks for joining us on Northern Focus and continuing to update us on all the steps Consumers Energy is making to keep the power moving through Michigan and doing it in a cleaner fashion.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on, Jerry.
All right, we'll be back after these words from our fine partners on Q100's Northern Focus, brought to us by Kirtland Community College. The goodies in the green room come from Cops and Donuts and Greystone Coffee Company in Gaylord, and Iron Pig Smokehouse delivered us a delicious breakfast.